I was sitting in the rheology laboratory at the University of Cincinnati scrolling through specifications for commercial viscometers when I saw the price tag. Hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars for a single instrument. The numbers stuck with me. This past summer, I have been working with Professor Benjamin Yavitt's research group studying how enzymes break down polymers and how those changes affect the material's flow behavior. Thus, measuring viscosity was essential to the project. Our lab was fortunate enough to have the funding to purchase professional-grade equipment, similarly to the magnet high school and college that I've attended throughout my educational journey. I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to have access to these resources, but they also make me wonder, what about the people who don't have them? What if you're a student at a rural or inner city school with a limited science budget? What if you're conducting field research far from a laboratory? What if the cost of one piece of equipment prevents you from asking an important scientific question in the first place? When we hear the word accessibility, we often think about making things usable for people with disabilities. And while that's incredibly important, accessibility can also mean making knowledge and scientific tools available to more people. Over the past decade, more scientific papers have become open access so that anyone, not just universities with expensive subscriptions, can read them. But access to knowledge is only half of the equation. If people can't afford the equipment needed to test ideas for themselves, then scientific discovery is still limited. That left me wondering, how many scientific perspectives are we missing out on simply because the tools aren't accessible to everyone? I am Jaren Earl, a mechanical engineering student at North Carolina A&T State University, and this summer I worked in Professor Benjamin Yavitt's lab at the University of Cincinnati studying the enzymatic degradation of polymers. Our research focused on understanding how enzymes break apart long polymer chains and how those changes affect the way a material flows. To answer those questions, we need to measure viscosity. But before we talk about the project, we first have to answer a simple question. What exactly is viscosity? Well, viscosity is a measure of how much a fluid resists flow. Honey, for example, has a much higher viscosity than water because it flows more slowly. As polymers begin to degrade, their molecular structure changes, and those changes often affect their viscosity as well. By measuring viscosity over time, researchers can better understand how materials behave, and that's why viscometers are such important scientific instruments. But the problem, like I stated before, is that they are very expensive. As a mechanical engineering student, I initially wasn't sure how I fit into a project that centered around polymer science. But then I realized something. While science helps us understand how the world works through observation and experimentation, engineering focuses on designing practical solutions to problems. And in this case, the challenge wasn't simply measuring viscosity. It was making viscosity measurements more accessible. To tackle that challenge, I worked alongside another engineering student at the University of Cincinnati to develop a low-cost portable viscometer. We didn't start from scratch. Instead, we built upon a design previously described in a published research paper. That gave us a solid foundation and allowed us to focus on improving the system rather than reinventing it. From there, we began asking engineering questions. How can we make the device smaller? How can we reduce the power consumption? How can we simplify the electronics? And could we use a display that makes it easier to use both inside and outside of a laboratory? Those questions led us to redesign portions of the system using Arduino-based controls and CAD software. We refined the programming, explored some ways to implement and improve the electronics, and developed ideas for making the instrument more compact and portable. Although the project isn't finished yet, that's one of the things I appreciate most about engineering research. Progress isn't always measured by completing the product. Sometimes it's measured by creating a better starting point for the next person. Every prototype, design revision, and test teaches you something new. Looking ahead, there are still plenty of opportunities to improve this device. Future work could integrate custom printed circuit boards to replace bulky prototype electronics, or improve power efficiency, or to increase measurement accuracy and create a more polished interface for users. Each improvement has the potential to lower costs, simplify operations, and make the instrument practical for classrooms, undergraduate laboratories, and researchers working in the field. And that perspective changed how I think about engineering. I used to think innovation meant inventing something completely new, But now I see that some of the most meaningful innovations come from improving existing ideas so that more people can actually use them. Looking back, I realized that the most valuable thing I contributed wasn't simply writing code or assembling hardware, but learning to recognize the barriers that exist preventing people from participating in science and thinking about how an engineer like myself can remove those barriers. If we continue improving tools like this, then scientific discovery doesn't have to be limited to the best-funded laboratories or people with the most resources. It can become something that more schools, more researchers, and more curious kids had the opportunity to take part in. So I leave you with this question. If one expensive piece of equipment can limit who gets to do science, how many future discoveries are still waiting for someone who simply hasn't been given the right tools?